Sega Bits and Sonic Retro present Boom Takalaka, a podcast with two guys in their late 20s talking about Sonic Boom. Now here they are, Barry and David.
Actually, I'm just going to lie down in the fetal position and weep.
Wind your body, because your belly.
Hello and welcome to Boom Takalaka, the only Sonic podcast where we went with the first name we thought of. I'm Barry from Cytobix. With me is...
David the Lurker from Sonic Retro.
I've heard of that site.
I haven't. I'm just reading the cue card.
All right. Well, I guess you can call it a trial run. Or maybe you can call it a first episode. We'll see how it goes. But basically, this is... David and I talking about the new Sonic, the branch of the Sonic franchise, the Sonic tree of life, known as Sonic Boom. Sonic Boom is roughly a little over a year old. It was originally revealed by Sega West to be a TV series. I'm sure we all remember the silhouettes on the wall, and Knuckles looked really big.
The old steroid.
But before we get into Sonic Boom, I just wanted to give people listening sort of a point of reference of where we're coming from. David, I was wondering if you could just talk about what sort of Sonic fan you were growing up, maybe how you got into the franchise, and what elements, especially of the Western developed things like the TV shows and comic books,
right,
most interested you.
Okay. Well, I mean, because I was a Sonic fan from way back, so, I mean, it was the first game on the old Sega Genesis that got me into the whole shebang. I'll say whole a few more times. But, it was always primarily the games that I was the most excited about, but as a kid, I always wanted more, and I do remember, like, every Saturday morning... waking up before 8 a.m. just to make sure that I was awake for when the Saturday morning Sonic cartoon would air. And as a kid, that's the show I preferred for whatever reason. I mean, as I've gotten older, I find myself actually liking the syndicated Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog more. But at the time, I was all about Princess Sally and Rotor and Antoine, and that made me start buying the comics obsessively, the Archie produced, because I had no idea that over in the UK they had a completely different comic book. I didn't find that out until like 1998. Mm-hmm. So, even though I wasn't like as excited about the Adventures show, I still watched it Monday through Friday and would always get excited when they would air like the 4-part Chaos Emerald saga, or if they would air certain episodes that like Sonic Song for some reason I always enjoyed.
Because they sang the theme song.
They did. I really liked that.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if they ever paid Dreams Come True money for that.
Likely
I'm guessing
not.
No. But yeah, I mean, the Western side of things, there have been times when I've been obsessed with it and other times where I've kind of hated it. But I mean, as an adult, as a late 20-something male, I pretty much learned to accept it, and some of it's good and some of it's bad, just like any other aspect of the Sonic franchise as a whole.
Now, let me ask you this. When you were watching the Saturday morning show, were you aware that it was – I mean, nowadays, of course, we're savvy to the whole, like, oh, it's a different canon. But did you at the time think, oh, this is an extension of what happens in the game? So when Sonic's not running around with Tails, I'm sure he just goes and hangs out with the Freedom Fighters. And I'm sure the guys who made the games know that. Like, is that how you thought?
I think during the first season, I was confused because I assumed that it would all sort of tie together. But at the same time, both shows didn't really have – they didn't have the same tone. I remember playing Sonic 2 and thinking, oh, is there going to be a cutscene at the end where Dr. Robotnik turns back into Dr. Kantobor because you're collecting all 7 Chaos Emeralds in this game? And that never happened. So, I mean, I had no idea that Kantobor was a Western invention. And he was just like in the promotional material for the first game, and that he existed in the UK, but ceased to be once the cartoons and the comic over in the US started. So I guess at first I was confused, but it didn't take long, especially by the second season, is to know, yeah, all of this is separate. And kind of like just U.S. comic books in general, like DC multiverse and stuff like that. It wasn't too hard to wrap my head around, oh, there are different Sonics. It just did confuse me at first a lot.
Yeah, as for myself, I, like you, I got into the games at the very first game, Christmas 91, got the console with the pack-in game, which is a great deal. The only thing was the first time I played it was on a black and white television.
That sounds depressing.
which is interesting because the first episode that I watched of Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog was also on a black and white TV, which makes it sound like I'm from like the 1960s or something. But honestly, it was just because everyone in my family had so many TVs that we would always have the black and white one in the kitchen. And so when I was eating breakfast watching the cartoons, I'd watch the black and white and the
I played it on like this tiny, I don't even know if it was 12 inches, but it just sat in my room for years and years. That's TV. I played all the Sonics on.
If only you still had
color.
Oh, yes.
Actually, I think it's in my parents' attic somewhere.
You've got to revisit that.
Bust it out. Film myself. This TV's as big as my head.
I was mostly into the games. But like you, again, I was like, well, I want to learn more about the characters because Tails just kind of appears. So I want to know what their dynamic is, all that. So I got into the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog first. And I also watched the Saturday morning one, but I feel like it either conflicted with another show I watched or I just never, maybe they didn't do a good job telling me what time it was on. Cause I always knew 6:30 in the morning, Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. And then with Saturday morning, I caught it when it would come on. And,
especially in the second season, it aired at the same time as Power Rangers. Me and my sister would do this absurd thing because she had a TV in her room. So I would have Sonic in my room. She would be watching Power Rangers in her room. And I would try and run back and forth to watch both because I thought that'd be a good idea. Forgetting, of course, that there was this thing called the VCR.
Yeah.
And I could just tape one and watch the other.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No.
But, I was confused. I thought maybe that Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog was a prequel to the the Saturday morning one, even though I didn't really know what prequels were at the time. And what kind of reinforced that for me was when I read the comics, I was like, okay, this is goofy, like Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, but it has the Freedom Fighters. So maybe the comic is kind of like the in-between. And so considering I never really followed the Saturday morning series, unlike Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, you can watch 5 episodes of that and you get the general gist of it and you're good. But with the Saturday morning one, it was so serialized that, you know, you see half the series, you're missing half the story, which you know, is a strength and a weakness for it, I think, just because for kids, they're like, what's going on? Who's the dragon?
I mean, that was the second season more than anything. Cause season one, most of the episodes stood on their own. But the second one, they tried to do this thing where they wanted to treat the whole story as a movie. And so through the 11 episodes, not counting the two Antoine-focused ones, which I'm sure were a huge hit at the time, I know they tried to write them so that most of them could still stand on their own except for the Blast of the Past two-parter and the last episode. Mm-hmm. But if you're watching them out of order, you are going to get confused because there's a lot of plot development. I mean, you have the introduction of Dulcie, you have Sonic finding Uncle Chuck again, freeing him from the mental prison in his mind with the power ring. You have the whole Doomsday Project foreshadowing and all this other stuff that just, you need to watch it in order. And kid shows weren't doing that at the time. So it would confuse everyone. So I can see why it would throw you off if you weren't watching it every Saturday morning.
So we both grew up in a confusing time for fans. And I'm not going to get into the later stuff like Underground. I feel like it's, I guess to mention it briefly, I feel like it's just kind of a show that was there and people were more interested in Sonic Adventure.
Right. There were no triplets in Sonic Adventure.
Yeah, they knew the comics weren't going to cover it. They knew the games weren't going to cover it. So it's kind of like, wow, this show's not very good. I'm gonna skip it.
Right.
And there was a long gap. We had Sonic X. Again, not going to get into that too much, right, if at all.
That's Eastern. That's pure Asian Sonic.
Yeah, unfortunately. Right. Yeah. And which brings us up to today, when I guess since X, really it's just been the games. We've had the Archie comics going through their reboot and trying to infuse more of the games into them. But now we have a new branch, the Sonic Boom franchise. And as mentioned, it was originally a cartoon that was revealed. Reading here, produced by Canal J and Gully? G-U-L-L-I? Gully?
He's a person. I don't know.
Mr. Gully? Yeah. And they were said to be 52 11-minute episodes. But as time went on, we learned more and more that there would be games and that there would be comics, making it with the official Sega games, making it the largest, I guess, multimedia franchise Sonic has ever had, when you think about it, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah, because Sonic X stood on its own, even though it was two adventure games. It never really tied into any games that were being made at the time. And the Archie comic has always sort of been hit and miss, the main Archie comic, when it comes to adapting the latest title. You know, they never really try to infuse it with the main storyline. They generally do six-page, oh, yeah, you should buy the game nonsense.
Yeah. So when Sonic Boom was announced, what were your initial thoughts? And I'm not talking about, like, the past week, what you've seen, but when when the original press release came out and you saw these silhouettes, what were you thinking?
I was hesitant but intrigued, even though Knuckles' silhouette was giving me some fear, and even to this day still does. But I mean, I was like, oh, if they're doing something new, you know, the Sonic franchise has been kind of stagnant, even though, you know, Colors was received well, Generations was received well, even if they never really blew up the sales charts. There was a, you know, this period where, yeah, you know, Sonic is getting better, but it still kind of does remind you of what happened before. So the idea of redesigning the characters, you know, mixing it up, I was hesitant and hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat. And I would like to say that enthusiasm continues to this day.
Yeah.
It's something.
Yeah, yeah. as for me,
what about you? When you saw the silhouette of Sonic and his messy spines and Knuckles' broad shoulders,
I was thinking, "Holy shit, they're rebooting the franchise!" And
yeah.
I was kind of sad about that, because I've really liked the redesigns that they've had for the Sonic Team games since 2008. They were a lot more, I guess, you looked at them and you were like, you know, I can't really think of how to improve this outside of making a classic Sonic again. But since that's not happening,
right,
this looks like a good modern Sonic. I mean, even, you know, as much as people dislike Sonic 4, I think it has some of the best renders that I've seen, with the little one of him running sideways. I use that a lot in graphics. Tails looks cool in the Generations stuff. So I was kind of concerned that Sega was throwing everything out the window and they were starting fresh. And so the first thing I did was I emailed Sega's community manager and said, please,
right, yeah,
what's happening? And she replied, and Kelly replied and told me that this is a new branch. It is not replacing the game. So I immediately hit Twitter, both in an attempt to tell everyone that and also hope to be the first, as is, you know, everyone's favorite thing when they run a fan site. You want to have a little scoop.
First.
And what was interesting was after that, they really said that a lot more in the interviews. They'd say, well, this is a new branch. And I think they realized that a lot of when they first announced it, they didn't make it clear that this was different, you know.
Right.
And
yeah. Go on.
I was going to say, I thought about it more and I was like, well, Ninja Turtles, we have the classic 80s toys in the stores. We have the 2003 show. We have the CG animated show now. We have the movie that just came out. So, I mean, Ninja Turtles alone has three different iterations of the characters currently being either in video game. The video game, they had another video game that had a completely different design. So I was like, you know what?
Right.
Sonic has a very basic kind of story. It's Eggman versus Sonic and his friends. And so if they're going to try to do a new spin on that, I'm interested to see it. And so I sat and waited. And wasn't until the comic book that we got our first official taste, even though a lot of previews from the games were out there.
Right.
You read the comic. What were your thoughts on it?
I did. I just read it before this. I guess I liked it. It wasn't terrible, but at the same time, I think maybe one of the problems is just, okay, you have Ian Flynn, who is already sort of being stretched out because he's writing the main title. He writes Sonic Universe. He writes Mega Man. I know there are a couple other things either he's currently writing or will be writing for Archie. So he's taking on another title, and I kind of would have liked to see someone else tackle it because it's a new interpretation of Sonic. I'm not saying Ian Flynn is bad at it. I mean, he does a pretty good job of showing what the characters are supposed to be in this world. I just would like to see some other people tackle it just to make it feel more fresh. Yeah. Even like the art is still being done by the same people. But I mean, the story itself, it's a lighthearted romp that kind of it evokes some of the earlier material from like the teens and 20s of the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Way back in 93 and 94.
Oh, man. And,
yeah.
When the characters would stop and talk to the reader and they'd be like, hey, Sonic, how'd you take those pictures? Oh, you mean, oh, remember that it was like My Little Mermaid camera is perfect for aerial photography.
Right.
Like stupid jokes like that.
I think it would have been nice if maybe in the issue somebody drew a Wiimote and Sonic was shouting at the reader to press the A button to make him jump.
That would have been
funny. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. I wasn't blown away by it. So I'm not sure if that's a really great review.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I mean, did you enjoy it more than I did? Were you like, wow, this is great, this is what I want to read forever? Or
I mean, looking at the Archie Sonic comics, the main series, they try really hard to, yeah, you know, hook you on these story arcs, and they build this long history, and that's all well and good. But sometimes, like, I collect the Simpsons comics, and those are just, right, they're not deep, they're not incredibly smart all the time, they're just kind of like dumb, funny comics, you know, that you read once and you're like, oh, that was a lighthearted, like you said, a lighthearted romp. So in that regard, I felt it was refreshing to read a Sonic comic that they weren't beating me over the head with, hey, check out issue 79, yeah, check out Sonic Saga graphic novel for this thing. I do wish, and, you know, maybe as the TV show or something goes, or the comic goes on, that they reveal, uh-huh, a little more of the world. Like they say, Eggman's a scientist who's traveling the globe, and he stopped, you know, like he stopped at this island, built a fortress, and he was studying the animals, and the animals talked to him. You know, like that would be kind of interesting. Or if, yeah, they said, yeah, go
right
on.
Because I think in the first page, when they introduce the premise, they say that, oh, this is an island, and Sonic and his friends live on this island, and they stop Eggman. So there is plenty of room for them to explore, maybe not just the island, but beyond that, what's beyond the coast.
Yeah.
I don't know how far even they're allowed to go, because I know one of the things, like, back when Archie was making the Sonic X comic book, they had specific instructions that, oh, the issues can only take place between this episode and that episode of the series. It was like, it can only take place during the second half of the first series, but before episode 52. So there were restrictions there. So I don't know how many restrictions Sega has imposed on Sonic Boom, saying, oh, you can only, you know, visit locations or concepts that are in the games and the TV show. So right. I don't know how much freedom Ian has in building up the world of Sonic Boom as compared to the other media connected.
Right. So, and you,
the fork.
You mentioned Ian too. And on Twitter recently, he was saying, someone asked him, oh, I noticed that in the new upcoming comics for the main series, you have some Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog characters coming in. Do you have any reason why? And he goes, well, I'm not a fan of Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, but I know other people are. And I was thinking, and I replied to him and I said, and yet you were the guy that wrote Sonic Boom number one, like that basically is Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. I mean, look at it. You have Eggman and his two dumb robots attacking Sonic and Tails for no real reason outside of he doesn't like them, and they even get along on a casual level. Like Sonic's, it's not like the Saturday morning show where they treat him like Darth Vader when he's in the room. They're more like, oh, hey, look at this guy, you know.
But, yeah.
So
right, I can't imagine Saturday morning Robotnik spending the night at Sonic's house.
No, doesn't never would enough. Happen. Or even worse, the Sonic Underground one where he was like, where is your mother? And they're like, we're looking for her. Robo yeah. Butt.
You tell him, Sonic.
Oh, yeah. Geez.
I'll play the drums.
So,
Manic.
But, yeah, so.
Nice.
We still doing impressions.
That was going to be Sonya, but forget it. Take it out in post.
God damn it. So in that regard, I was a little more – I'm a little more on the positive end for the comic book, though I don't expect much more of it outside of the typical kind of kids comic. But I kind of think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't think it's bad. I didn't read it thinking, oh, I want some sort of – lengthy epic tale involving Sonic and Eggman, because that's what the main Archie comic has been doing for years. I mean, Ian has written some standalone stuff, but a lot of it is just trying to build. Well, initially he was building and he was refining what had come before so that he could build on those refinements, and every storyline just seems to build on and on. Up until the reboot, when he was like, oh, well, I guess I'll build on something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wouldn't want the Sonic Boom comic to be that again. There would be no point.
No.
That would be a retread. So I like the fact that it's more lighthearted, that it seems to be, oh, we'll just, you know, we'll just write stories that are entertaining and see what happens.
Now, there is a hint that they have an ongoing sort of arc, because at the very end, and spoiler alert if someone is afraid of their Sonic Boom comic being spoiled, but
right. Oh, God.
But at the end, Knuckles actually goes to team up with Eggman, which is kind of, I mean, it's not like, you know, the world didn't stop, but still it was... I was kind of surprised to see that. It made me interested to see the next issue, maybe get a little Sonic 3 kind of vibe going.
Yeah, sort of a throwback, yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I guess, but one of the things that kind of does rub me the wrong way through all of Sonic Boom is the fact that Knuckles is meant to be like an idiot to the extreme, as opposed to like the more gullible but pure-hearted character he is in the main games. So he's like, oh, well, he's still pure-hearted, but now he's just a complete and total idiot, and let's all laugh at him. And the first issue of Sonic Boom pokes fun at that to the point where he goes to Eggman, where, I mean, I doubt that by the end of issue 2 he'll still be on Eggman's side, or if he even really is on Eggman. You know, it's could just be, oh yeah, I'm going over there and I'm going to try and be mean, but I'm not going to be mean, and Eggman will just kick him off or something silly along those lines. But
speaking of Knuckles too, they stripped him of his backstory. It seems like there's no sign of the floating island, the Master Emerald.
The defining characteristics of what Knuckles is.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, you know, I missed it, but at the same time, over the years, they've kind of moved him away from that anyway. Like, he'll be hanging out with Sonic, and you're like, who's watching the Master Emerald, you know?
No one.
Nobody. Or Knuckles will have to say, in the comics, he'll be like, yeah, I left Team Chaotix in charge of the Master Emerald. And it'll be like, oh, I'm glad you told me that, Knuckles, you know?
Ray's sitting there. He's going to guard it because he's good at his job.
And no one likes him. But
and I mean, like, in the OVA, the two-part Japanese animation.
That's true. Knuckles,
he wasn't guardian of the floating island there. He was just a treasure hunter.
Yeah.
So Knuckles can work outside of it, but at the same time, it's like that's what Knuckles was. That was the story, you know, his origin, and completely removing every aspect of it just seems, I don't know. I guess it's because they don't want to complicate it. If you say, oh yeah, he's the guardian of the floating island, then you always have to find an excuse for him to leave the floating island, and they want Knuckles to be a constant point in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the games where they just ignore it, they just, in the show, they're like, yeah, well, he was never guardian in the first place. Woo.
Yeah, and I mean, you never know. Maybe they plan to have some sort of revelation where he's like, oh, I have ancestors, and they were protectors or something. That would be kind of cool. I don't know. Then again, I don't know if I'm expecting too much from the brand. Which I'm afraid I might be. It could be just like Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, where what you see in episode 1 is the same thing you're going to see in episode 52, you know?
Yeah, I do get the feeling that there isn't going to be any grand revelation. I mean, do we even know if, like, Lyric is supposed to be in the show at all at any point? Or is he just in the games?
Interesting you should mention that. There is a bit of cross-media continuity. Tails, Flies... Actually, we could get into the TV show, too. But there are two things in the TV show that take place that kind of connect with the games. One thing is that Tails is flying a biplane that is apparently not his. It was found or built by the ancients. And that's one that Rex in the premiere episode of the Sonic Boom TV show, the sidekick. Okay. And if you watch the second episode, he has his new yellow plane with the Tails logo. So that the other thing is that in the, I believe in the video games, Eggman has this yellow wrist gauntlet, and Lyric has a blue one. And then when you watch the TV show, Eggman now has Lyric's blue wrist gauntlet. So there is kind of a connection there. The TV show does take place after the games. So I haven't seen the ending of the game, but assuming Lyric is defeated or sealed up again, maybe that explains why we don't see him in the TV show.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, I haven't played the game either. I mean, that's a big spoiler alert there.
Oh, shit.
Neither of us have played it, so.
And I guess, I know we weren't going to touch on the games too much. They are out. People are playing them.
Right. I've seen footage. I just haven't played it myself yet.
Yeah, and I guess if I can say it in the nicest terms, it looks like a average action-adventure platformer for a licensed action-adventure platformer. I've actually been talking to some people. It reminds me of the Simpsons game, where you switch between characters, you jump around the level, perform various tasks, unlock the next area, fight creatures. You know, I think it's being the whole Sonic 06 comparison is a bit too much. I think it's more in line with those types of games that you'll see from EA or even Ubisoft has done some.
Like
Tintin's the game, you know, where it's just kind of like, it looks playable. It looks like the cutscenes are fun. The characters are interesting, but it's not a, if you are a Sonic fan, it's not a Sonic game in the same way that All-Stars Racing is not a Sonic game or Sonic, Mean Bean Machine is not a Sonic game. You know, I think that's the nicest way I can put it.
Yeah, I know some people even compared it to Labyrinth in the sense that I guess Sonic is not that fast when he's just running, and then you have to use the spin dash if you really like when you're just exploring areas. I know there's segments of the game where he is running fast, but then other segments where it's more slowed down, and it's the spin dash that'll make him go fast. So if you want to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible, you just spam it. Mm-hmm. Like in Sonic Labyrinth, where you could only be fast if you spin dash. And if you have a Sonic game and somebody is comparing it to Sonic Labyrinth, that worries me slightly.
Yeah. I
think... So when you hear people say, when people compare it to 06 and Labyrinth, it's not comforting reviews.
No, I think it would. Yeah. And from what I've seen from people who are enjoying it, it scratches that itch that a lot of the Sonic Adventure 3 people want, where they want more exploration, adventure fields. That's not what I'm looking for in the franchise anymore. And I'm sure there are even Sonic Adventure 3 folks who played Boom and don't think it satisfies that. But I guess if Sonic Boom, the Wii U game, can do anything good for... the franchise, I think, is that it will satisfy that need for a more adventure Sonic game. And I'm not saying Sonic Adventure. I'm saying an action-adventure platformer Sonic game, which I personally don't think the Sonic brand at its core ever was.
Right. In the first Sonic game, there are levels that are slower. You have the Labyrinth Zone. You have Marble Zone. But if you play it more and more, you can run through those levels really fast. You can get some of that rush and exhilaration that you initially experienced in the Green Hill Zone. Basically, the game starts, you run through the first zone, and then the game slows down, and the first level is kind of just, this is what you can do in the rest of the game once you master it. Mm-hmm. And from what I can tell in Sonic Boom, even if you're mastering the game, you're not going to have that same sort of rush of speeding through the levels. You're still stuck at this one speed, and even if you find shortcuts or whatever, it's an action-adventure platformer that really wants to be Jack and Daxter, but isn't.
Right.
Yeah, so it's... I don't think it's horrible, and I haven't played it, so I can't say, it's bad, it's good, but from what I've seen, it isn't that exciting rebranding that a lot of people were hoping for.
Right. And there is the 3DS game as well. I played that quite a bit, the demo, when I was at Sonic Boom, the event. I have to clarify that. Otherwise, you'll be thinking, Barry, you went inside of a song? And I'd be like, no, I didn't go to the song. I went to Sonic Boom, the event.
The event, the song, the soundtrack, the...
the act. The act of Sonic Booming.
Right. You hit the speed of sound. You became Chuck Yeager. You transformed.
As I was hitting the speed of sound, I was playing the demo. No, but I feel like the game, the 3DS game, well, it doesn't play like any of the Dimps mobile titles, which are attempting this super speedy, fast sort of Sonic. It is more in line with what one would expect from a Sonic game. But even saying that, it's more like Tails Adventures in that, or even Sonic CD, where it's more like explore, collect the pieces, use, you know, your friend's abilities to get you through. And it doesn't look to be my favorite handheld Sonic title. I haven't played the full game yet. I'm going to be doing that next week, which is when my review copy comes. You but
are getting a review copy.
I just am next week. but yeah. So I'm not going to be approaching it as the next Sonic game in the sense of, you know, like a Sonic Team or a Dimps game. I'm going to be approaching it as what it is. So we'll see. You know, I've read positive things, I've read negative things. I'm kind of neutral on it right now, but I am more excited to play the 3DS one than the Wii U version at the moment.
Yeah. I need to play both at some point. I'm sort of behind because here I have to admit this. I have not played Lost World either.
Do you have a Wii U?
I'm way behind. Not exactly. No, I don't. I was using, well, before I moved, I would just kind of use my brother's Wii U. But now that I don't have, it's an hour away, so I don't have access to it. And I mean, I could just go out and buy one next paycheck. I'm sure that'll go over well.
I don't think it will.
maybe I can find it real cheap. Or, I mean, even I do get sort of the impression that Sonic Boom is not going to be a $50, $60 title for long.
No.
So part of me is even like, oh, I should just wait. But then being on this podcast, well, then I'm kind of missing out on half of what we're supposed to talk about.
That's true. you know, those are the games. However, we do have one final aspect to talk about, which was actually the first aspect that was revealed. And I'll be honest, I feel like the Sonic Boom TV series is the backbone. I feel like the comics and the games are, despite, you know, Sega is a video game maker first, they're not a TV show maker. I feel like the TV show came first, and or at least I should say, having known a little bit of the background on it, someone will yell at me if I reveal what I know. But I will say that I get the feeling, I can have feelings, right? That the TV series and the game existed separate before they became one. And a part of that reason is because I feel like the game, having seen the cutscenes, feels different, especially when it was first being displayed compared to the TV show.
Yeah, because like in the game, there seems to be a lot more self-referential commentary, like on the fact that they are in a game and it's a bit more sarcastic, maybe I'm not describing it perfectly, but there is definitely a tonal shift.
So let's talk about the TV show. The TV show was the second thing to debut after the comic book. It aired at 7 a.m. on Saturday. I told myself, I'm not going to be up that early. And guess what? I woke up at 6:30 and I couldn't fall back asleep. I was like, I'm doing it. I can do it. And so I rushed to the computer. I brought up an illegal – no.
You rushed to the kitchen, poured yourself a bowl of Honey Graham oats.
I actually poured a bowl of Reese's Puffs cereal, which isn't far off. And I sat down and I watched it live. And
cross-legged? Were you sitting on the floor?
No, yeah, sitting in a chair, feeling sorry for myself, wondering what I was doing with my life. But it was the first Sonic cartoon that I caught at launch since 1993's Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. So it felt, I mean, I'm going to be turning 30 this year. I'm not going to keep that a secret. So I have to feel really good about myself in order to sit down at 7 a.m. on a Saturday and think, you know what, I'm going to watch this cartoon. Don't judge me. So,
well, to be fair, you are married.
I'm married. And I've been watching The Sopranos, so I think that's evening it out.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I did not wake up at 7 in the morning, but I DVR'd it, and it was the first thing I watched when I woke up that day. There was no way I was going to wake up at 7 in the morning.
So let's talk about that premiere episode, The Sidekick. Here's the official synopsis, which probably is the entire episode. When Tails is injured in a battle with Dr. Eggman, Sonic holds auditions for a new sidekick to replace him.
Yeah, what did you think? That is what happened. I thought as a pilot, as a first episode, it wasn't as good as it should have been. If it was like episode 14, I don't think I'd have any problem with it. But it does kind of rely on the fact that you need to know who Sonic and Tails are. Like, they are the bestest of friends and they're sidekicks, or Tails the sidekick. You need to know that stuff. I mean, to be fair, if you're waking up at 7 in the morning to watch Sonic, you already know what the franchise is about.
Right.
I did like I liked some of the bits, like the tryouts, the interviews with Knuckles and Amy, and the opening segment was good too, but we had already seen all that stuff in the previews, in the trailers, so there was nothing really new in the first episode to make you excited anyway. It wasn't, like I said with the comic, it wasn't bad, it was just, it didn't work for me as episode one.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been a different episode. And also the fact that it kind of shared the same theme with the next episode where Eggman is coming to Sonic and trying to involve himself in Sonic's life. I felt like there should have been some space between those two episodes because they were hitting on the same points, even though the second episode did it better
right.
than the first episode.
Okay. Well, I mean, I remember when I always bring up Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. It always comes back to that. Do you remember the first episode of that?
The SSSSSSSquad.
No, the first episode that aired.
Was that Best Hedgehog? Was that the first episode that aired?
Best Hedgehog. So imagine me sitting down, stupid little boy sitting down. I'm 9 years old, and I'm like, oh, golly gosh, I'm going to watch the first Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon where I'm going to see Sonic and Tails talk and interact and fight Robotnik. What's going to happen? And it's Sonic helping a prisoner who grew a beard probably not unlike yours.
Right.
And he was longing for his girlfriend that he wanted to make his wife to be, and Sonic had to hook them up. And I was like, what the hell is going on? You know, like, is this, I guess this is what happens between after Sonic 2. It's like Sonic 1, you know, Sonic 2,
right.
you got the hints of the Death Egg, all that. Sonic, after Sonic 2, Sonic finds a prisoner and hooks him up with his girlfriend, you know, or something. But
it's getting sexy.
So having said that, I think compared to Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, the sidekick was at least a better first episode in that regard. They did do things, I think, that were it definitely felt like they intended this to be the first episode, just in the fact that it was Sonic. There was this kind of zoom down Sonic versus Eggman, simple dynamic. Tails in his air biplane, which I don't think is the Tornado, and then they show the pictures on the walls, and they're like, oh, they're friends. But then moments later, Sonic fires him and moves on. He's like, all right, little buddy, you know.
You're fired. I didn't have an issue with the episode itself. It just really felt like episode 14.
Yeah.
The filler while they were working on something else. Not here's the pilot. The first few minutes feels very pilot-like, but then it just sort of dovetails from there.
So, what did you think about the I call them NPCs, but it's a TV show, so I guess they're called background characters.
Right.
they were all animals. They weren't people.
That's true. It's just like the old days.
Yeah. The Saturday morning or Adventures, they were beavers. There were some guy who kind of looked like Sonic, like a taller Sonic.
Right, but wasn't.
Yeah. And there were Knuckles and Amy, too, who, you know, you said that the show relies on you knowing the character's history, and yet when you're presented with Knuckles and Amy, you're thinking, all right, Knuckles, floating island, doesn't like Sonic. Amy, fangirl, she loves him. I didn't get that from either one of them. Amy was more like the kooky, you know, neighbor, and Knuckles was kind of like the guy who was just full of himself. He didn't seem to hate Sonic. He was just kind of like, yeah, you're second to me.
Yeah. Right. Well, 'cause in the show, Knuckles didn't come off as blockheaded as he does in the comic or even or what I've seen of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even though I still have issues with Knuckles' design, I felt like he was portrayed better in the show than he is in the other segments of the Boomverse.
The Boomiverse, yeah.
The boom.
Which we boom talk a lot about.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And kids will be talking about this on the playground. They're like, did you watch Boom Takalaka? They were talking about the Boomiverse.
Yeah. We are going to – our target demographic are the 4- to 8-year-olds.
I thought you were going to say the 40- to 80-year-olds.
Well, that's probably more the case. But I like Amy. I like her design. I like the dress actually a bit more than the dress she's been wearing since 99. I'm not going to lie there.
Let's talk about the designs. Let's go through the characters, actually. What do you think of Sonic's redesign?
It looks more awkward in the game than it does in the show. It doesn't bother me too much in the show, but I'm still, you know, I'm still a fan of classic Sonic. That's Sonic I'd rather see. And Sonic Boom is even further away from that.
Yeah.
But it's not as bad as it could be, let's just say.
We've seen worse. Tails is
we've definitely seen worse. Yeah, 06 Sonic, that wasn't a good Sonic. Even though Sonic Boom Sonic is lanky, it works better than lanky 06 Sonic. Probably because 06 Sonic was still trying to look like Adventure Sonic and wasn't. And it gets so confusing trying to describe all these different hedgehogs.
Yeah, he has that scarf. I could take or leave the scarf, though I think they're kind of missing an opportunity by explaining what the scarf means. Uh-huh. Like if he had some sort of backstory where he was like, well, this scarf was the flag that we flew all over. I don't know, you know, like some sort of history or some reason.
It was my Uncle Chuck.
Besides that.
No. you don't want no Chuck in the show?
Well, maybe. Chuckster. If someone draws me Boom Chuck, maybe I'll turn around.
Although the way the design is, if he didn't have the scarf and he had the blue arms, I think it would look worse than the scarf does kind of – it adds something that his tan arms usually have. Like, instead of, 'cause otherwise he'd just be blue.
That's true.
It would just be too much blue, so you need something to offset it, and that's what the scarf does. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that. I guess
you've mentioned Knuckles. He's big. He has fingers.
The fingers still bother me.
I think it was an animation reason.
Probably. I guess you can do more with it there. But I know in the first cutscene to the Wii U game, they... You know, Sonic yells at Knuckles, tells him to go left, and then he stares at his hand to do the L shape with both thumbs. And I almost feel like they gave him hands so he could do that in the first scene of the game, and that's the only reason why.
Yeah.
Like, see, Knuckles is an idiot. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And he's tall. I guess that was to give them – you even look at the official photos and it's like you have small, medium, large. You have Tails, Sonic, Knuckles, and then I guess it was just to differentiate them more. I've kind of not stopped noticing it so much now, though when I look at even modern Knuckles, I'm like, holy shit, he's small, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, but there are other times – like in some of the cutscenes I've seen, it just is really noticeable that Knuckles is beefier and taller than the rest, and it does seem off-putting when compared to how Knuckles has always been portrayed with the rest of the characters. I don't know. I'm just kind of like, I go from hot to cold with Knuckles. He seems all right in the show. In the games, he just seems off. The design sometimes works and sometimes it doesn't. And it just feels like it would have been easier if he was closer to what he always was, because everyone else is still pretty close to what they usually are. Sonic's a little bit taller, but he's still very clearly Sonic, and Tails is just wearing goggles and a belt.
That's all we got to say about Tails, really.
Yeah. Doesn't bother me. He's still Tails.
You look at Amy. You mentioned you liked her design. I would not mind at all if that was like even the new modern Amy's outfit. It doesn't bother me. I mean, Amy's already changed her outfit once, and I think it's a little too girly. I think this one at least allows her. If you were to have a playable Amy, this makes a lot more sense than her in her Sonic Adventure dress.
Yeah, I'd agree there. Because Amy is supposed to be a bit tomboyish.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like even in the Sonic CD stuff? I think they alluded to that with the whole Rosie the Rascal. It's not a nickname you give a super girly girl. If you're rascally, you know, you got a little spunk in you, a little.
I knew you were saying that.
Oh, I can't help it. I can't help saying spunk.
We also have Eggman, who underwent a redesign, and if I have to say, I actually really like his redesign. Right. It's
got a buff chest.
Yeah, people said, oh, he doesn't look like an egg, but if you turn an egg upside down, that's what the new Eggman looks like. Which I think is kind of. It makes him look a little more imposing. He's not so much, and if anything, it's kind of more in line with I wouldn't say more in line with the classic Eggman, but really, you know, classic Eggman was a perfect circle. Modern Eggman was more bottom heavy. Boom Eggman is more top heavy. So it really doesn't bother me. It seems like a natural kind of progression. I really like the outfit of his. I think it's a lot more simplistic than the Sonic Adventure one. They lost the weird like gold nipples and the lines and the stripes down his arms. Like I used to draw Eggman and it was just kind of a headache because he had so many things on him. But
funny when you think about how original Eggman, because he was designed specifically for children to be able to draw him easily.
Yeah.
And then they threw that out the window with Adventure Eggman. But
this one's a lot more simple. The classic Eggman had the two yellow collars, and now that yellow collar kind of moved to the chest, so it's this folded over vest, and it seems to have more of a Teddy Roosevelt kind of like puffing his chest out and with more of a militaristic. Like it almost, even though they haven't given him a backstory, I get that kind of feeling like he's an explorer or kind of like an old fashioned kind of entrepreneur or adventurer who's like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to conquer this world. You know, I'm going to mine it for all its resources. I'll become the best. And it's not so much I'm going to be the greatest evil genius as it is more like, more like he's discovered a new world and he's intent on making it his.
Right.
So
I can see that.
I don't have any issue with him. And then there's Orbot and Cubot who have gone redesigned. They're the same as usual.
They are unmoving.
Or scratch and grounder, as I call them. Yeah.
Although I am glad that they didn't go, oh, we need to make the one have a funny voice all the time, because that would have just gotten annoying.
Yeah.
I forget if it was Orbot or Cubot. But, you know, the shtick he had in Colors, I was just hoping that they wouldn't.
Oh, Cubot.
Yeah, I was hoping that, oh, I don't want every episode for him to have another goofy voice. Just give him his, you know. And they did. Like, he has a voice. It's his regular voice. So, yeah.
It works. And they actually, Eggman and his henchmen, if we can move on to, can an evil genius crash on your couch for a few days? Which was kind of annoying to put as the headline and in Twitter, it took up so many characters. But the synopsis for this is, while his evil lair is undergoing repairs, Dr. Eggman crashes on Tails' couch and proves to be a very difficult roommate. What did you think of this one, David?
Well, you see, Barry.
Yes.
I love Dr. Eggman. I love him so much.
Do you like Mike Pollock?
I do like Mike Pollock. He is a very amusing guy, and he's also he's a good Eggman. I like his Eggman voice. I like the personality he shoves in that character, and it shines through in the show, especially in the second episode. He's just goofy. Eggman is supposed to be kind of goofy. He's sort of a man-child, you know? And he's an evil genius, IQ of 300, but he's also childlike, and that shines through in spades in the second episode. I mean, Sonic and Tails are really just there for the amusement of what happens involving Eggman. And oh, it's also the first episode where we see Styx.
Yeah.
And
she's just there.
She is just kind of there. She didn't bother me too much. It's just, I think she works better as being like, oh, off to the side, and she has a few lines, and it does make me worry about how an episode focusing on her is going to come off.
But
the episode itself, I liked it. I kind of wish that was the first one.
it would have made for a nice first one, especially when you don't really know what sort of dynamic they have yet. So you're like, I could buy him staying at their place.
Right. It's not like they've been fighting. You know, seen episodes where they've been fighting for years and they've tried to kill each other, and it's like, ah. And then all of a sudden, Eggman's like, hey, I need to sleep on your couch. You right off the bat get the sense that there is this rivalry. Eggman is doing things that he shouldn't, but not to the point where Sonic is actually trying to, you know, wipe Eggman off the face of the earth. It's more lighthearted than that. It's not Saturday Morning Robotnik.
Like Amy says too, Amy says to them, If you don't let Eggman stay here, you're as bad as him. So she's kind of guilting Sonic, but she's also, you know, going back to that that sort of like, all right, you know, like the Sonic Heroes sort of thing, where we're like, we're a team and friendship is number one, and you know, so you know, it's
Sonic and Eggman are friendly rivals.
Yeah.
Even if Eggman had been angrier about it.
Yeah. So like if. As coming from it as an adult, I'd be like, no way in hell would I let, you know, like some sort of guy who's been known to create giant robots and destroy things live with me. But, you know, it's a nice message to send kids to say, like, you know what, be the better man or be the better boy or whatever kids say. And, you know, show your enemy that you can be friendly, whereas, you know, do what they would not. But, I thought it worked for me. I thought Mike did a fantastic job as Eggman. He even kind of broke out of the regular angry voice when he was like washing the dishes. He was more like this, singing, you know, and which is kind of funny. And he had the pink pajamas, which was going along with the adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, Eggman, or Robotnik, who wasn't afraid to, you know, wear funny things and feel comfortable and lounge around. So
I always enjoy when they throw Eggman into pajamas. I mean, that harkens back to the very first design sketch.
That's true. He's in
polka dot pajamas. And, you know, there was that Sonic Jam short, you know, the man of the year.
He woke up in pajamas. Yeah.
It just, for some reason it works. See, Eggman's goofy. He's supposed to – he can be menacing but goofy at the same time, and pajamas just add to that allure.
And that's when he works the best. I think, you know, not to knock on the Saturday Morning one or Underground, but for me, I've always liked Robotnik and, you know, later Eggman to be that sort of mischievous – you know, there's that concept art of the Japanese Eggman. He's like standing on one foot with his arms out. He's kind of doing this weird little jig, and I don't know what the hell he's doing, but he seems like this And you even see that in the you see that especially in the Sonic anime, where he's evil, but he's kind of full of himself, and he likes dancing around. And I like to see more of that. And it's something that Mike has been kind of conveying in the video games, especially I think it came out even more so in Unleashed and Generations. But it's good to see them really have him go all out in this cartoon, especially when it's not like, Sonic, that's the same guy who unleashed the Eclipse Cannon on you. You know, he tried to destroy the Earth. No, this is just the guy who, you know, crashed Tails' plane. You know, that's still kind of evil, but it's not like he's destroying the world.
Yeah. He wouldn't want to destroy the world. There'd be no one to love him if he did that.
Exactly. Exactly. So, the second episode definitely was the better of the two, and it really made me want to watch the next week's, next week we have, on November 15th, we have Translate This, and we also have an episode called Buster, which I don't know anything about.
It's the story of Buster Keaton, obviously.
Of course, Sonic and Buster Keaton.
What I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that could be anything. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch it.
Maybe not at 7 in the morning, but...
No, I mean, if you sleep in and just DVR it, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there is something magical about waking up Saturday morning, sitting down, watching a whole block of cartoons, but, I mean, Saturday morning doesn't even exist like that anymore, so... It's a sad, long ago era, and I guess Sonic Boom is keeping that spirit alive by airing at 7 in the morning.
That's true.
That's earlier than. The Saturday morning, the ABC show.
That was at 8:30, wasn't it, or 9?
Yeah, I think it had both time slots at one point. So, Sonic Boom's even earlier. That's terrible. but I mean, to be fair, I did wake up at 6:30 in the morning every day to watch Sonic Underground.
Yeah,
I regretted that afterwards, but I did watch all 40 episodes at 6:30 in the morning.
It's interesting to note that the ratings, I mean, it is an early time slot that probably was not incredibly popular, but from what I read, it increased, or you could say it boomed to 50% to 130% more viewers. So I don't know what that means exactly, but that's a big number.
Yeah, I'd like to see actual numbers, not percentages. I want to see the Nielsen ratings.
Yeah,
but I guess I don't know when they release that sort of thing. Soon, I'd assume.
So that is basically what we've seen of the Sonic Boom franchise so far. We have one comic book, two episodes, and two video games that we haven't played yet.
Right. We're right on the cusp.
Yes. So
cutting edge.
We do need to play those games, but I'll be honest, I feel like the TV show is going to be what really sort of carries and continues the Boom brand, if it continues, after the 52 episodes. And from what I've seen from the TV show is the most positive, dare I say, not just positive, but I actually am glad that it exists, which I think is a pretty good thing, you know?
Yeah, I like the idea of Sonic being a multimedia character. He always embodied a personality. You know, Mario was always... like, oh, you put yourself in his position, but Sonic was clearly defined from day one, right?
Yeah.
When you look at the title, like, you look at the title screen for Sonic 1, he pops out of the emblem, and there's that frame of animation where his eyes are wide open, like Mickey Mouse or Felix the Cat, but then his brow just slightly furrows, and all of a sudden, boom, you see the attitude. You know that there's more to Sonic than just being a colorful cartoon character that is just designed to have parents buy things for children. There's just slightly more to him than that. Yep. And that personality there just works in various forms of media, comics, TV shows, the upcoming movie. Whatever that will.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to see what they do with the rest of the show. Even if it is just a series of 11-minute adventures, if there are no two-parters to be seen, it could still be very entertaining. And that's all you can really ask for, right?
That's absolutely right. So I guess to wrap up the show, those were kind of final thoughts. Do you have any more final thoughts on Sonic Boom as of now?
Well, trouble keeps you running faster.
That's right.
That's all I know.
I like that. Well, I guess on my end, final thoughts, TV show, my favorite aspect of the franchise so far, something I'll continue to keep up on. Comic book, you know, as we talked about, it's not a must read, but if you enjoy the TV show and you want some, you know, lighthearted comic book fun, it's worth picking up. It's not an offensive comic at all. It's actually rather good if it is just compared to the sorts of SpongeBob and Simpsons sort of comics out there. The video games, there's been a lot of controversy. There's been a lot of things said. I haven't played the games, and I'm not going to say anything more until I play them. So, and you know what? I'll be fine if Sonic Boom continues on as just a TV show and a comic book series, because that's what it was sold to us as initially, and I was fine with that. It wasn't until the games came mentioned later on that I was like, oh, okay. So.
Yeah. And I guess that's why I never really, when they first announced it, I never thought to myself, oh, they're getting rid of what Sonic has been for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Just... because the idea of rebooting and starting from scratch has always rubbed me the wrong way, if only because you can just ignore things. You have the original 2D games. You can even take elements of Sonic Adventure, and that's all you really need. You can ignore Adventure 2, Hero Shadow. You can ignore Lost World in the next game. It's not like Sonic relies heavily on continuity. It's always been more open to interpretation, and Sonic Boom, like TV show, because it is more standalone stuff, that is sort of in the same spirit of what Sonic was in the beginning. Even if there are, you know, there's a rich lore tapestry that you can delve into, at the same time you can enjoy just the surface elements, and you don't need this grand sweeping epic, even if underneath there are elements of such a thing. I don't know what else to say.
All right. I'm
getting plugged up.
Well, you're too much Boom. That'll do it to you. Before I wrap things up, just to clarify, because I know I was talking about the release, the TV series was actually revealed early October 2013, clearly said to be a CG animated comedy series. It was not until February 2014 that there was an event being talked about where they would show off the TV show, we guessed. And then it was revealed that there were redesigns February, and then the Sonic Boom, the game, was revealed as the third Wii U 3DS title in February. So between October 2013 and February of this year, Sonic right. Boom was known as a TV series until the game was announced. So that's why I say, to me, the backbone and the main, despite it being sold as a multimedia franchise, I feel like the TV series is the center of the universe for all of the Sonic Boom stuff. And if that is the case, which I think it is, then I do like Sonic Boom as a TV show. The games, we'll see. So in the comments,
I mean, certainly better than Underground.
Oh God, yeah, best Sonic TV show since for the last nearly 20 years, which is kind of surprising. So anyway, from myself at SegaBits and from David, thank you for listening.
Of Sonic Retro,
and we might do another one of these in December once we get our hands on the games and once more episodes air. If you do listen to this, and if you actually leave comments, tell us what you think. Tell us if you want to hear any more of these, what you want us to talk about, and we'll probably ignore you.
can answer viewer mail.
Viewer mail. Okay, David loves answering viewer mail. So if you have any questions for David.
Oh, I'll answer any question you ask me, even if my answer is wrong.
Send them to Boomgram. Boomgrams. How's that?
Care of Boomgram.
And Sonic himself will write back with a snarky reply that doesn't answer your question. Anyway, let's wrap this up. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Boom Takalaka, the show that you decided to call that.
For me.
Works for me. Cool.